Footy is still the main item for a lot of the callers on Midday Madness. So let me explain what I was saying about Essendon maybe being a sleeping giant that's about to wake up. I was talking more, not necessarily this year, but on the premiership window of the next couple of years. There's been a lot of talk about recruits and free agents and who's going to go where, and a lot of the names that are being thrown up at this time of year: Harry Himmelberg, Aaron Norton, Tom DeConing, Ben Mackay, Darcy Parrish. So many names being thrown up at this time of year. Mason Redmond, obviously, given we're talking Essendon at the moment. But I'm talking more about the premiership window in the next couple of years. If you're signing free agents and you're luring players right now, if you're a player, you probably want to look at what boxes you need ticked in your own mind. You want a stable club. You want the same coach right now as you signed to play with there in 3 years. You don't want to go to a club and have the coach change. You pretty much want stability and the same coach. You want to go to a big club, most players do. They want to go to a big club and play in front of big crowds. If I'm Mason Redmond, I am thinking long and hard now about staying at Essendon because of what's been building there over the last couple of months. Darcy Parrish, he's from Geelong, but hang on. Yes, the Crows and Cats are great clubs and they're stable and have big crowds, but I reckon Essendon right now is looming as the next big sleeping giant to awake in the next couple of years if they keep getting things right. Richmond awoke, won 3 flags. There was a lot of talk about Richmond will never wake up. They'll never get things right. They change coaches too much. But they got things right off field, and they woke up and won 3 flags. Collingwood's awake right now. Geelong's, well, they're kind of planning to always be awake, but they never sleep right now, Geelong. They're in that window, and they might stay in the window as well. But Essendon have Brad Scott, who should now, he's going okay, stay for at least 3 or 4 seasons, at least. So you want a club that's big, you want a club that's stable, and you want a club that I think is in the premiership window in the next 2 years. So I think Essendon is in that conversation. Collingwood, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. And if you're Harry Himmelberg, Aaron Norton, Tom DeConing, Ben Mackay, Darcy Parrish, Mason Redmond, looking at options. I know Sydney's attractive right now, and Port's attractive all the time. Sydney's attractive because they're such a great club. But, you know, Port Adelaide, technically, by September might be locked in, but you don't know who's going to coach Port Adelaide yet right now. Carlton's unstable. They're big, they're huge as a club, but they're still unstable, and they have been unstable. Their recent back history in the last couple of decades is being a little unstable. Richmond, who's going to coach you if you go to Richmond? That's the question that you're probably asking yourself as a player. Is Benny Gale going to stay as the CEO? Even for Geelong now, is Chris Scott going to be there for the long term? That's a question you've got to ask about Geelong when you think about going to Geelong, even though it's a great lure because it's a great club as well. The West Coast Eagles are a big club, but they're very unstable right now, and they're not going to be in the premiership window for a while. So, yeah, that's where I just wanted to clarify the Essendon sleeping giant idea. But if you've got a thought on that, then give us a call. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. I might be, you know, jumping on the wrong bandwagon here, but I think there's a lot to like about Essendon right now for 2024 and 2025. Jaden Laverde is going to join us from the Bombers later in the program, about 2 o'clock. So looking forward to having a chat to Jaden Laverde. So I'll throw a few questions to him on that, but wouldn't mind your thoughts on all that. But your calls is the promise for Midday Madison. Dan, Tom and Harry have been waiting from the moment I jumped on, so I better get to you as well. Dan, welcome to you. Great to have you on.
Hey, Dwayne, how's it going? Just a quick one. I'm really liking the Essendon brand at the moment. It's consistent. You know, there's a lot of good things going on. I think we just need a key back to keep that spine going.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, Dan. And there's a few that are going to be up for grabs as well, which is, I mean, if you're a club right now like Essendon, the ability to lure a key back is it's pretty attractive. Talking about stability, Essendon's been, well, it's more stable now than it's been for decades, pretty much. I mean, you're an Essendon man, Dan. It's been a horrible couple of decades, really. And they've got a lot of things wrong in the last couple of decades, Dan. But it looks like there's some things starting to happen that are right.
100%. So, just the key back and maybe just a more consistent, bigger inside mid would help with a bigger tank, bigger engine. And I think we'll be all good.
Great to have you called, Dan. A couple of hits. Dwayne, you have lost your mind. Port, Sydney, yeah, right. I think Sydney is still in the window. I think Sydney's a great club to go to. They have been stable for a long time. John Longmire's going to be there for a long time. They've got a great group of kids. Port Adelaide as well. They've got a great group of kids right now, Port Adelaide. The only unstable part about Port Adelaide right now is who's going to coach next year. Once they get that sorted, then Port Adelaide's going to be a very attractive option for free agents. Tom in Thomastown, welcome to you, Tom.
Oh, hi, Ryan. Calling about something different, but I will just touch on the Essendon stability aspect that you just raised. So I agree, Brad Scott is all class. Everything he does is class, and he will be great. But I haven't heard any sort of changes to the board or CEO or anything above that. And that was a mess pre-season. It was a mess last year. And I don't know if that's been cleaned up. And until that gets settled, Brad Scott is, still at the mercy of, what happens above him. So stability sort of is from the top down, and Brad Scott is sort of that middleman. He's the top of the coaching department. But, interesting. Look, on a separate note, you watched the Geelong Bulldogs game on Saturday night, I assume, or if you didn't watch it live, I'm sure you've seen it.
Yep, I have, yep.
Curious as to, look, I'm not about to go umpire bashing, but Matthew Nichols, he got sucked in. And he got sucked in when Stewart put a little bit of pressure onto Treloar after he sort of kicked the ball, and Treloar fell down. And immediately, Treloar's put his hand up and he's apologised and he said, "Yep, that's on me. I went down. I'm sorry." And the free kick was paid for downfield as a result of that. Stewart's then turned around and said, "Look at him. He's just apologising. He's just died." And as a result of saying that, Matthew Nichols has pinged him 50 metres and he's taken that free kick, which, the free kick being paid was neither here nor there because it was a mark. But then the 50 metres took it to about 15 metres out, directly in front at a crucial time. If the Bulldogs kicked that goal, they didn't, but if they kicked that goal and went on to win, that would have been a huge turning point. And I just sort of feel like, like as an umpire, I've umpired, and sometimes you get sucked in because you make a split second decision, and then you think, oh, I might have had a howler there. But you can sort of overturn your decision if the player's saying, I dived or went down too easily. Cross your arms, saying, "Yep, all right, apologise." Pull it back, free kick from outside the 50 where it was, and then move on. But, it's like, I just don't understand why an umpire makes a decision. He knows that he's probably made a blue, but he seems, no, I've got to just lock in on this, even though everyone around knew that it was an absolute howler. And it could have been, highly costly because, again, a free kick 10 metres out directly in front.
Yeah, I hear everything you're saying, and I agree there's been some howlers this year. And I don't want to start the show with umpire bashing, but you call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. And Tom, your valid point needs to be thought through to a point that some umpires have a different threshold still for dissent. Some players are going off at the moment like a wacky, wailing, inflatable man. I mean, they are going crazy at the umpires, waving their arms, carrying on, which was 50 metres all day of the week, round one, two. And yet here we are, now we're leaving it up to individual umpires. And the extreme is as extreme as I've seen right now between one umpire's version of dissent and another's. So thankfully, most umpires, when it comes to players complaining these days, we're back where we were a year ago. We're back where we were 2 years ago. While we had the carry-on rounds one and two, I'm not sure, but there was a massive overcorrection rounds one and two. I do want to play... I didn't play it yesterday. Jared Healy mentioned something on Sports Day about the umpiring a couple of nights ago. I didn't play it yesterday because I didn't want to be seen to be umpire bashing, and I don't want to play it right now to take that route either. But I will, after 1 o'clock, I'll play it to you, and we'll just go through that a bit, because Jared Healy's gone for the nuclear option to fix umpiring because the four umpire system doesn't seem to be making umpiring any better. So if you don't mind hanging on, I'll go through. We've got a full board of calls. I'll take all the calls, and after 1 o'clock, we'll address it. Thanks for your call. Jackie in St. Andrews Beach, welcome to you, Jackie.
Oh, hi, that was quick. Look, just with Essendon, look, obviously when you follow your own team, you sort of watch things that maybe other people don't. Just two things. When I saw Brad Scott on the ground when the Bombers played Richmond and we won, the persona he had was fantastic with the players. There's this connection that he has with them that I really like. Then also, when I heard some footage, Zach Merritt, he had a mic on.
Yep.
And the way he was with the players and the way they are with each other, the vibe they have, I have not seen in so long. And I really like it. And I feel like they believe in themselves. And I know they only just beat North, but we won. And, you know, North were good. And we wouldn't have won those games last year. I feel like there's something really good there. And yes, I think we need a stronger backman, but I don't know. I just really like what's going on the ground and with the coach. And yeah, it's a good thing to see for a Bombers support. I don't know what others think, but there's this different energy going on.
Yeah, I feel it too. And I was there on the weekend, but I like the fact we're not hearing from the board. The board aren't saying anything. I like the fact that we aren't hearing from about any blue between Adrian Dodoro or anyone else in the football department. And we're not hearing those stories at the moment, Jackie. So those stories have dissipated. It's been a horrible couple of decades, but and you know, much of it is because Essendon's got things wrong. But do you feel like that the sleeping giant might be about to awake because things are going right for a change and you seem to have stability for the first time in a while, or more stability than you have for a while?
Yeah, I even heard, you know, someone said, oh, they're a bit wobbly. Look, yes, I feel like, you know, every game I sort of go, oh, Carlton even is a threat. But even Brad Scott says every game is a threat.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they win against Carlton well, I mean, they're always going to be a hard team to beat because they're a big club and they need to win. Every game's hard. So I think if we just get the 4 points, like Collingwood, there was a stage last year they were winning by 1 point. You know, and look at them now. So I just think we just win each game and keep believing in each other
Great to have you call, Jackie. I really enjoyed the discussion. And yeah, I'm not talking Essendon could lose this week. I'm not talking about winning the flag this year as a sleeping giant. I'm just saying they look like they're in the window 24-25. 2024, 2025, 2026. If they can stay stable like this, you know Brad Scott's going to be there. As opposed to, you know, a lot of clubs. Is Chris Scott going to be at Geelong? Who's going to coach Richmond? Is Ken Hinckley going to be at Port? That's the issue with a few of those phone calls that are being made to players now as free agents and trying to lure big gun players to your club. Can you answer that question? Who's going to be coaching me for the next 3 years? Because that's a question a lot of players will probably, or managers will ask first.